Text this morning is found in Psalms 1. We'll be taking a break for John this week. We'll be back in John next week. But our passage will be found in John 1. I'm going to do the first to the sixth verse. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his death on the cross. We thank you for his resurrection and his ascending to the right hand of the Father. So, Lord, without all those things, we wouldn't be here. And God, I just ask this morning that those who are here and those who are listening online, God, that we would have clarity of mind and understanding. God, and I just pray that you just move and just touch each and every one of us, God. Lord, that we hear with clarity anything that would be an encumbrance, anything that would take our mind away right now, God, I ask that you just remove that. Lord, let us hear your words. Let us hear what you're saying. Lord, I just ask that you just bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The message this morning is found in Psalms 1. It's entitled The Way of the Righteous. Let's read. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor see sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. You know, it's interesting. I was looking at the book of Psalms and just, you know, the book of Psalms are, there are a lot of different Psalms, 150 Psalms, and, you know, compiled by different people over different times and to different situations. And so when they were, we think that they were after the exile, they were compiled together. And it's interesting that the compilers chose Psalm 1 to be the first psalm. It could have been, they could have put it anywhere else. But purposely, they put Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 here because really what they were trying to highlight is that there would be obedience to the Torah. So the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, it was highlighting that in order, if you're going to read these psalms, if you're going to proceed any further than Psalm 1, that you will want to adhere to Torah obedience. You will want to be obedient to the first five books. And if you're not, it's really saying, hey, don't go any further because it won't make sense to you. It will be offensive to you. It will cause you to want to turn away because you know, what you're going to read is it's encouraging a relationship with God. It's encouraging obedience to God's law. It's encouraging them to live out their faith in everyday life. And if they're saying, if you're like the wicked, then you don't want to go any further because it's going to encourage those who want to live a life of faith, those who want to live a life of obedience, those who want to walk after God. And so, it's interesting to see how they form these psalms and how they put them together. But I think Psalm 1 is probably one of the beloved psalms. These are the psalms that, you know, people always turn to, you know. You got Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 91, you know, all 119, all very famous psalms. But this one here, it makes sense that it's really the first. And so, and here, Psalm 1 is interesting because what it does is it introduces a point and it will be matched. So it'll introduce a point about the righteous, and then it will introduce later on a matching point about the wicked. And actually, what happens is the very first point that's made is matched by the very last point. And then the second point is matched the second to last point. And that third point is matched by the next point. So it's called a chiasm. And so it's arranged in such a way to be memorable. But what does it mean? The way of the righteous. I don't want to focus in on the way of the wicked, because I don't think he wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be righteous. He wants us to be people who walk after him and serve him. He wants us to be believing people, people of faith, people who follow and love Jesus. Here, go to the next one. So our first point, I've got 2 points this morning, is that blessed is the person who walks with God. Okay. So right, you read here and it keeps saying man, okay. And here you have to understand that Hebrew doesn't have a new like a gender neutral term where it refers to like people or they or them. In Hebrew it's either masculine or feminine, and so a lot of times when it says man or it says men, it can be referring to both men and women. So, blessed is the person who walks with God. It says, how blessed is the man who does not walk with the counsel of the wicked. You could say, how blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So here in verse one of the things you're going to see is that there's the author of Psalm 1 is they're pointing out the progression. So first off is a person who walks with sinners, okay? This is really that first step, and he's saying this is not a good step, okay? And the idea is not just our bigger idea this morning is that you walk with God, okay? But he says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Then the next progression is that this person, they went from walking with sinners to standing with them. Now it becomes more intimate. They're standing around with them. They're congregating with them. Okay. So it's becoming a more intimate. They're going deeper into that council of associating with wicked. Well, the next step is to sit. Okay. Now they're saying that you've walked with them. Now you've stood with them. Now you are sitting in the seat of scoffers. And so you see this progression of association. And what we see is that what we're going to figure out is the person who does this isn't blessed, okay? That they're not walking with God. And says, so to put a positive spin on this is, if a person who is blessed who does not walk in the counsel of wicked, then the blessed person is someone who seeks the advice of godly people. Okay. Now I'm not talking. I'm talking about spiritual matters. I'm not talking about you have a financial advisor or an insurance agent or a banker or an automotive repair person. I'm not saying that if your financial advisor isn't a believer, you shouldn't use them. Okay. I think it's great for believers to do business with one another. I think it's a good thing, right? But that's not what this is talking about, okay? What this is talking about is in spiritual matters, do not stand in the counsel of the wicked. Do not take advice from ungodly people. Why? Because they don't understand who they don't, first off, they don't understand who Jesus is. They don't understand the parameters of scripture. They don't understand what it means to walk and have a relationship with God. And so why would we stand in their counsel and why would we listen to them? Because they're not going to lead us in the right way. Okay. And so, but if we seek the advice of godly people, if we stand in their counsel, then it builds us up, it strengthens them, okay? Godly people will give good advice, okay? They will encourage you, they will strengthen you. But it says, nor stand in the path of sinners, right? So in the seat of scoffers, and so again, we're seeing this progression, okay? It's wicked, then it's sinners. So we look at what is a scoffer? A scoffer is someone who they're a sinner, they're a wicked person who sins, right? But then they also They make a mockery of right living, okay? So you see people who aren't Christian and they mock Christians. All Christians, they're doing too much. They're you don't have, it doesn't require all of that. All of that, it doesn't take all of that to have a relationship with Jesus. You don't have to go to church on Sunday morning. You don't have to be a Bible believer. You don't have to be a Bible thumper. All of these things are unnecessary to walk with God, and then they're making fun of you. Oh, you're doing this, you're giving all your money to church. You don't give all your money to the church, or you don't do this, but they're mocking you and they're making fun of you. This is what a scoffer is. And when we stand in their council, it's not going to have a positive outcome. Not what God is calling us to. But here, so if we were to look at these are characteristics of someone who walks with God, okay? So when it says, let me back up here, when it says blessed, so this is not the normal word that you would normally see in Hebrew for blessed. It's another word. So normally the idea of blessed, it has to do with God's favor and his like merit. It's not merit based, but it has to do with his favor. But here, the word Hebrew word here has to do with happiness, has to do with fulfillment of joy, okay? And there's something about people who really walk with the Lord. People who walk with the Lord, they tend to be happy. Why? Because they find their fulfillment and happiness in God, okay? They're seeking the things of God. The only time a lot of times when we find when Christians they're no longer happy, it's because the monster of materialism comes in, right? They start thinking they need a bigger house, they need more clothes, that they need this, they need that. No, that's not what they and so then we get carried away, we get pulled away. All right. That's where we start getting pulled into the council of the wicked. See, a lot of times we think it's just a person. Sometimes it's an ideology, sometimes it's a thought, sometimes it's the things that are pulling us, these are different materialism, right? It's pulling us away, it's trying to get us to pull us in, and we don't want to go there. So how the blessed man, the blessed person, the blessed woman, they're happy because they don't walk in a council of the wicked. They don't stand with sinners nor sit and see the scoffers, right? And so there's a joy that they find. There's a joy of serving God and living for God. But one of the other characteristics that you see of a blessed person, someone who is happy walking with God, is that they delight and the law of the Lord. Okay. So in the original context of Psalm 1, it's talking about the Torah, the first five books, that they delight in the law. The law is good, right? If you go back to Deuteronomy, the end of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 28 talks about that when you go into the land, that if you obey the commandments of the Lord, that good things will take place and that the blessings will follow them. So they're saying that a blessed people who are obedient to God's law will be blessed. Okay, that's really what sums up Deuteronomy 28. And I think this is what's looking back here, is that they delight in the law of the Lord. Okay, and as New Testament, as Christians, as people who have a New Testament, a whole Bible, we look at this. Do we delight not just in the first five books, but do we delight in all of it? Do we delight in the first five books? Do we delight in the Old Testament? Do we spend time in God's word? So it brings us not down to it says, and in his law he meditates day and night. Okay. The person who not only did do delight in God, but they studied God's word, they read it. I'm not saying you got to be a Bible scholar, that you need to go get a PhD in Old Testament studies or New Testament studies or theology. That's not what this is saying. But this is you're spending time in God's word and you're reading into it, okay? So if we were to look at this type of a here again, we're talking about an association, okay? And so the association is with the Word of God. How does that association affect us, all right? So if you were a diabetic person and you decided that you were going to drink lots of Coca-Cola, what type of association would that have for you?
Not good.
What wouldn't be good? Your blood sugar would spike up. You would probably have uncontrolled diabetes. It wouldn't be a good thing. Now, but on the flip side, if you decided, hey, I'm no longer going to drink soda, I'm going to drink water, okay? This would be a positive association. It would help stabilize your blood sugar. It wouldn't spike it. It would be healthy for you. In the same way, we can look at eating, okay? If we eat, we all know we like fried food, right? We all know that we like greasy, unhealthy. We all like, pizza late at night, right? But, you can, pizza at night is really good when you're 15. As you get older, pizza at night maybe doesn't work out so well. But if we eat unhealthy, it has negative effects. You have heartburn in the middle of the night. You gain weight. It's not healthy for you, right? But if you decide you're going to eat healthy food, it has a positive outcome. And so here again, as believers, if we feast on unhealthy things, different ideologies, things that are not good for us, what kind of outcome will it have for us? What will affect? But if we spend time in God's word, we spend time fellowshipping with other believers, we spend time in prayer, how is that going to affect us? It's going to have a good effect on us. It will help us walk with the Lord. So not only do they delight, but they also study their Bible, okay? And then you want to go to verse 3 says, then he, so or she, will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Okay. Really, so what this is talking about, this characteristic is that when the person who seeks godly advice, they seek the counsel of godly people, and they delight in God's word. They spend time on God's word. They are connected to God and they grow in faith. Okay. And it uses a simile here. It uses a saying, if a person who does these things, this is what they will look like. They will be like a tree that is firmly planted by streams of water. Okay. And not only is it a stream firmly planted next to water, but it says that it's which yields its fruit in its season. So it's a healthy tree. It does what it's supposed to. Not only does it produce fruit, but it produces healthy fruit, and it produces fruit at the right time. And we as believers, okay, this is how we should be, is that we are planted, we are connected to with God. And when we're connected with God, we grow in faith. We grow in confidence. We grow in our relationship with God. We grow in our knowledge of God. We grow in righteousness, and we begin to exhibit godly behaviors. It just comes out of us. Why? It's because what we do, it's what we put in, right? What you put into something is what you get out of it. If you want to run a marathon and you don't practice for the marathon and you go try to go run the marathon next Sunday, how's that going to work out for you? You're probably not going to finish the marathon. But if you practice, okay, and that you've done your stretching and you've done your training and you've eaten healthy and you hydrated, you will run that marathon successfully, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that you won't be tired at the end of it. It doesn't mean that it won't affect your body, okay? But you will have prepared yourself to complete the task. A marathon is a hard task. There's just things in the Christian life that are not meant to be, they're not meant to be easy. They can be laborsome, they can be hard. But if we prepare for it, we will accomplish it. God will supply us in it. But not only is this righteous person, are they firmly planted by streams of water and yield, but it says its leaf does not wither. Okay, see, when leaves wither, it means that something is unhealthy. It's coming to the end of the season. Things are changing. Really, it's a sign, in general, if all things are created equal, if you have leaves that are withering in the middle of summer, the middle of the growing season, something's not right. The tree's not healthy. The branch has been damaged and it's not getting the nutrients that it should. Something has happened, right? Well, in the same way with us as believers, that if our leaves, if we're withering, okay, that means something is not right spiritually. But it says that the righteous person, the person who's connected to God, who has a relationship with God, who's seeking the counsel, who's spending time with other believers, spending time in the word, that says that our leaf will not wither, we will be healthy. and that whatever we do, we prosper. Now, let's talk about things of faith, okay? This doesn't just mean that, you can go invest money in the stock market or whatever, and that it's you're automatically a prosper. That's not, it's talking about matters of faith. So let's contrast of what the righteous person looked like. So we saw their characteristics. Now look what the characteristics of the wicked are. So remember, the last thing that they compared the righteous to is they were like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. They yielded their fruit in its season. Its leaf did not wither, right? And whatever they did, they prospered. Now look, it says the wicked are not so. Okay. The ungodly are not so. Okay, let me just sum up. I know you're thinking, hey, I've seen ungodly people prosper. I've seen ungodly people have very big homes. I've seen them have lots of money. So if your determining factor in life is material success, okay, that is not the standard that God looks upon, okay? God does not look upon the standard of monetary means. He does not look at the standard of the size of your house. He does not look at the, how much you have in your home, okay? Actually, that's called mammon, and the New Testament would say that that's sinful, okay? So these are not the defining factors of what it means to be righteous or what it means to prosper, okay? When it talks about prosper, it's talking about being, it's really referring to, are you experiencing God's shalom? Are you experiencing that peace, that wholeness? Are you in right relationship with God? Are you in right relationship with other people? So that's what it's talking about when it's prospering. You're experiencing biblical shalom. And so this is the wicked, the ungodly are not so. Okay, they may be prospering in monetary and material things. They may have big houses, but that does not mean they're prospering. Otherwise, if you look at that, you see people who commit suicide. You see these celebrities. You see these athletes. You see people who have lots of money. They have access to all this material stuff, yet they're committed suicide. Why? Because that stuff did not buy happiness. Okay. It didn't buy being blessed. Remember, blessed here has to do with happiness and joy and in the context of this Hebrew word. And money doesn't necessarily buy that. Now, you like, I know people are like, hey, if I had more money, I could be happy. Maybe. But also, there's people who find when you have more money, it creates more problems. I mean, just from a financial perspective, if you have lots of money, it creates another set of problems that middle class and poor people don't have. Okay. How do I maintain this? How do I not get taxed on? And I know you're like, hey, that's a problem I'd like to have. Okay, that'd be great. I'm not disagreeing with you. But money isn't the ends all, means all to life. We have a creator who created heaven and earth. He created you. It's better to be rich in faith than rich in money.
Amen.
But it says the wicked are not so, okay? So they're not like this tree planted by the water. They don't have this connection with God, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away, okay? Now, what is chaff? Okay, so when they harvest wheat, they actually have like the wheat heads, and what they do is they throw it up in the air. And the wheat will fall down, the chaff will blow away. So it doesn't take much, okay? It's not like you're out there, you got a strong Kansas wind. You don't have hurricane force winds blowing away. This is just a normal, soft, everyday breeze that you might experience at the end of a harvest. And so as they're taking this winnowing fork and they're going into the wheat and they're throwing the wheat up, the chaff is blowing away, right? It's being pushed away just with the calmest of breezes, even, okay? And so he's saying that the wicked are like this. They are like chaff that just the easiest wind blows them away. And so if we're thinking this in common things, remember, when you sit in the seat of the ungodly, the seat of when you walk with the ungodly and sit with or stand with sinners and then, sit with scoffers, that you become influenced by them. You start, that association starts to have negative effects on you. Just like the tree planted by water, it's a healthy tree because they always have access to a water source. So it's even in times of drought, it's still connected into the stream. It's still healthy. It has a water source. And trees are really meant trees, God created trees to withstand drought, okay? So if you're thinking about this is a great, it really is a great simile here that we are described as this tree. Even in times of drought, even in tough times when things are going on in our life, if we're connected with God, we have deep roots. They're running in, they're gathering water, they're gathering nutrients for us, okay? So it's healthy. But the wicked are not, so they're like chaff that the wind blows away. So when any ideology comes, any type of thought, any wickedness, they're just carried away that these associations, it's pulling them away from God. It's pulling them thing away from the things of God, the things that will be healthy for them, the things that will prosper them. They know they're not experiencing God's shalom. They're actually experiencing hopelessness. They're experiencing depression. They're always looking for the next thing because they think that if they can just get this next thing, this next idea, that it will change their life. If I can get this person, they will change my life. You know, if I can date this person or marry this person, my whole life will change. If I can get this much money a year, if I can have this degree, if I can have this sort of house, if I could be in this certain social status, it will change my life. Those things don't necessarily, they might change your life, but they don't change the eternal significance of your life. And they may actually be negative influences on you. But it says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assemblies of the righteous. So, ungodly people, they're easily pulled to sin, but they also will be judged. Okay. Now, here in the context of Psalm 1, that judgment, and we don't know what that judgment is because, you know, in the Old Testament, they don't have a fully, they don't really have this a fully developed idea of heaven and hell the way the New Testament does, okay? And so it could be that when the judgment comes, that God judges them and they are found wanting, and when judgment comes, that there is a punishment that comes along with it. But from a New Testament perspective, at the final judgment, if you're not walking with God, if you're not in right relationship with Him, and you are judged, then you, leading the next point, that you will not stand in the assembly of the righteous, okay? That you will not be in the assembly of God's people. And the idea here isn't that is also we should understand that God understands. He is not duped. You can't dupe God. You can't trick God. You know, just because you're a wicked person, you can't trick him because he will understand that you are not righteous. You can't sneak into the assembly of God's people. Okay? The Church of God in Christ used to have this song. It says, "We are the Church of God of Christ." Okay? Well, one of the lines that said, "You can't join in, you have to be born in." Okay, and the idea is in order to be in the assembly of God's people, you have to be born again. You have to be born into it, not because of who your family is, not because of some generational thing. No, that's how the world experiences things, that you're born into wealth, you're given prosperity. No, that's not what this is talking about, but you have to be born in by being reborn as a Christian, that you accept faith, that you walk with Jesus. And that's how you come into the assembly. It says, but the sinner will not be in the assembly of the righteous. So here's our big idea this morning. What we associate with affects, that's wrong. I have to fix it. But what we associate with affects us. Okay. If we associate with godly people, we associate with godly things, it has a positive outcome for us. It positively changes us, okay? There's good things that will come out of it. If we read our Bibles daily, if we pray daily, those all things have impacts on us, right? Now, if we don't read our Bibles daily and we start to associate with ungodly things, ungodly people, ungodly ideas, then it will have an effect on us as well. But it's just going to pull in us a different direction from what God is. And so look what it verse 6 says. It's for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Actually, what it says in Hebrew is that he approves the way of the righteous. Okay. That he approves of this, that He sees how righteous people are living, and he says, yes, this is right. This is the way that it should be. This is the way that I designed you to be. So here's the thing: God created us. We were created to love God. We are created to worship God. We are created to be obedient to God. Okay. Now, when Adam and Eve sitting in the garden, it broke that relationship with God, and man rebelled against its creator. And so when he says that he approves of the way of the righteous, or he knows the way of the righteous, it is good. He gives us hearty approval. This is you're living out the way that you're created to be. You're being who you were born to be. Okay. We live in a day and time where I was born this way, or this is who I was born to be. And a lot of times they're like, oh, I was born to be a movie star, or I was born to do this. No, you were born to worship and love God and be obedient. But look what it says. It says the sinner. It says the way of the wicked will perish. Okay. The sinner will be judged by God. Okay. So why the righteous person, their way is approved by God, that they'll be in they will stand at the end of judgment. They will stand with the righteous. They will cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and they will worship him, and we will be in the New Jerusalem. But the sinner, the person who doesn't know God, the person who doesn't love and worship God. So here's the thing. There's a lot of people say they love God, right? But they don't really practice. They don't live out his way. And so just because you say you love God doesn't mean you love God, okay? You have to actually, if I told you a man loved his wife, but he was constantly in whorehouses, cheating on his wife and beating her, would you say he loved her?
No.
No, right? So in the same way, as Christians, if we're not loving God, okay, if we're not obedient, I'm not saying that you're going to do everything right. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you won't miss the mark at times. But if your lifestyle does not look like it's affected by God's word, by being in a relationship with him, there's something not right. I'm not saying that a husband or wife, they're not going to fuss at one another. They won't say coarse words to one another at time. They won't get upset with one. This happens. We're human beings. We have, life takes place, and we get short fuses at times. But to constantly mistreat someone and abuse them is that means that we are being affected by the wrong thing. But the sinner will be judged by God when Jesus comes back. Now we stand before the great white throne of judgment, and they look to see, is our name found in the Lamb's Book of Life? The wicked is going to find that their name is not in there, that they will not stand in the assembly of God's people. So this morning, my question is, what are we associating with? Do we have a godly association, or do we have an ungodly association? And if we have an ungodly association this morning, or whenever you listen, is your time to begin making a positive association, to serve Jesus, to follow him, to love him, to obey his word, to keep his word, to be like that tree planted by the water. Let's pray. Lord, we want to be like that tree planted by the water that bears fruit in its season. That even in times of drought and in times of famine, that God, we are connected to you, and that we are blessed, that we walk in your way, that we delight in your word, God. Lord, help us to live for you. Lord, let us serve you. Lord, tug our hearts, bring us closer to you. We just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.